And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show, this guy does a great job, and he's a great friend of mine. He is the head basketball coach of Florida Tech. He's Billy Mims. Coach, how you doing today?
Mark, it's sunny outside. It's warm. We're in Florida, and the NBA playoffs are in full swing. I'm recruiting college basketball players right now. How can life get a whole lot better?
How many players? I know there's things you can't say on the air, but how many players are you recruiting right now for the next couple seasons?
Wow. That's a great question because people wonder what we do once the season's over. I was on the phone today with a Division I coach talking about recruiting and about possibly playing a game next year. And I said to him, I said, I can't wait for the season to start because it seems like we work more in the off season than we actually do when the season's around. Once the season's in gear, all we're doing then is coaching our team, watching film, prepping for the next game. But once the season's over, oh my God, the amount of recruiting, scheduling, compliance, NCAA paperwork, NCAA certification modules, the amount of things you have to do in the off season, it's ridiculous. It's 9 to 5 doesn't get it done right now. So we are recruiting because we had 7 seniors in our program this year. So we have 7 senior spots to fill. We also have one of our starters from this past year in the transfer portal right now, getting some love from some higher up schools. So we may end up having to bring in 8 players and could possibly lose our entire starting lineup from this season. So when you talk rebuilding, just call me Bob, not Billy, because I'm Bob the Builder with a capital B.
Is there a deadline to get your roster ready for next year?
Before we play the first game would probably be ideal.
Oh. Okay, then you're good to go. Where have you gone over the last couple of weeks? Because I know you were looking at tournaments in Illinois. Where were you exactly?
Oh, Mark, I have been. I got a lot of frequent flyer miles, you know. But I went to the NJCAA Division II National Tournament. Well, first, let's backtrack. Yeah. As soon as our season ended, the NCAA has a rule: when your season ends, you've got to do four. You've got to give the guys 14 days off. Now, nice coincidentally, that also lined up well with spring break at Florida Tech, so the kids could actually go home and visit their family and stuff. But we can't do anything postseason skill development work with our players for 14 days immediately following the last game of our season, when our season is over, when we're eliminated, 14 days. So the players went on a break. I began recruiting. My staff and I, we jumped on the road. We started looking at players. My first stop was Niceville, Florida, for the Florida State Region 8 Junior College Championships. So I went and spent a couple of days up in Niceville. Then the following week, I flew to Illinois, well, actually flew to Indianapolis, and then drove to Danville, Illinois, for the Division II National Junior College Tournament. Then I came back to Florida, packed another bag, jumped back on a plane, flew to Hutchinson, Kansas, for the Division I National Junior College Championships. When I got back from Hutchinson, it was only a few days later, I got on a plane and flew to Phoenix, Arizona, for the NABC National Coaches Convention and the Final Four. Then I get back from the Final Four, and it's off to a few junior college workouts and practices here in the state of Florida, and to a few showcases, high school and transfer kids playing in showcases where a lot of college coaches attend to look and see kids that are still available that haven't signed somewhere yet.
What?
So it's been a lot of travel since the end of our season.
Can you even keep up with the story you just told? Can you? Do you like, you're like Johnny Cash. What's the song? I've been everywhere. That's what that sounds like to me. Man, oh man. What was the worst hotel you went to? You don't have to say the name of it, but what city? Where was it?
Well, I tell you, It's funny because, you know, people would love it. People say, God, what a lifestyle. You're flying around the country watching college basketball games. Yes, that's true. But let me just say this, Mark. Danville, Illinois, and Hutchinson, Kansas, are not on anybody's bucket list of tourist destinations. You know, we live an hour away from Orlando, you and I.
Yeah.
And Orlando is the world's number one tourist destination. Then on the other hand, I just spent a week in Danville, Illinois.
You love it.
And a week in Hutchinson, Kansas. Trust me, they are way, 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 way down on the list of the world's top tourist destinations.
Man.
Not on anybody's real. I won't mention the hotels, but you don't get five-star Embassy Suites hotels in either Danville or Hutchinson.
Hey, let's clarify this. You ain't there as a tourist. You're there to work, so you deserve it. Okay, you need.
You know
very
what's
key.
Funny?
What? What's
you know what's funny?
When
I go to those cities, and you can bear with me, and you'll laugh on this. But when you go to those cities, you think, okay, the Final Four for Division I men's basketball, Phoenix, Arizona. It was a hopping place, right? Next year's Final Four, San Antonio, Texas, hopping place, right? The Division I finals are always held in nice, great big cities, beautiful locations. Well, when you make it to the national tournament, the national championship, it's supposed to be a great experience, right? And then you think these poor junior college kids that you tell them all year long, guys, we're playing for a right to go to Danville. And they're like, where's that? Oh, that's Virginia, right? Oh. No. Danville, Virginia is larger than Danville, Illinois. No, that's the wrong one. We're not going there. And then the Division I junior college guys, you're saying, hey, guys, the road to Hutch starts here. And every one of those kids starts getting out their phone and looking up Google Maps, where's Hutch? And so you kind of think about it and you say, it's supposed to be the biggest experience of the year. They're going to play for a national championship. Yet they're going to places they never even heard of before. And once they get there, other than playing for the national championship, they're probably saying, man, I hope I don't have to come back here again.
Right. I'm getting you a Danville, Illinois t-shirt for everything you've said. I'm getting you that. Okay. And I feel bad. Just getting that shirt. It's like, hey, we're going to Paris, baby. Paris, France. No, Paris, Texas. I have a conference there. It's like, all right, here's what I'll tell you. So back in December when I flew to Europe, we're here with Billy Mims, head basketball coach of Florida Tech. So here's what I've noticed in Europe now. You'll find these hotels and what they're like on a, this has happened to you. I know this has happened to you where it's like you're in London. You see all these hotels, they're on the same street. So they all got bought out. They all got bought out by like one person. So you got one guy who's doing the front desk for multiple buildings. Have you seen this before? So then what happens is like you'll go, all right, so go up to the front door to check in and it's like check in at the next hotel over. Like it's the same, you know, they're all together. So you go over there. I'm like, hey, can I check in? No, sorry. You have to wait till 3 p.m. Then you can check in. Really? So then here's what happened. So in December when I got there, remember, I left Melbourne. It was 80 degrees. When I got to London, it was 30 degrees with snow and it was like blowing sideways. It was not fun. My hotel was so old. It was built like, I don't know, in the 1800s, the infrastructure of this place. My room, the heat wasn't working. So my thing was, well, I have to get up at 7 a.m. anyway to get to the train to go to Liverpool. So I just slept in my winter coat, got up, showered a cold shower and got out of there. That's the worst hotel I've ever been to in my life. That's my story for you. Slept in my winter coat because there's no time.
Hey, I lived in Europe for 12 years, and I traveled to some out-of-the-way places during that time.
Yeah.
So I probably can rival you with some places I've stayed in, but I'm going to go back one further.
What?
The absolute worst hotel I ever stayed in, before I came to Florida Tech, I was out in West Texas for 1 year.
Here we go.
Playing at the University of Texas Permian Basin. Mm-hmm. And we were going down south to play a game about as far south in Texas as you can get without actually being in Mexico. So we were playing a game way down south against, now they call themselves the University of Texas Rio Grande, RGV, right? Division I program, University of Texas, RGV, Rio Grande Valley. You've heard of that, right?
Like Rio Grande. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But there they say it's Rio.
Oh, okay.
So it's only the locals, because they have the Hispanic influence.
Yeah.
Right? But now that's what they're known as now. When we played there, they were called UT Pan American. Okay? Mm-hmm. Used to be UT Pan American. So we went down to play a game there, right? And it was part of our guarantee. UT Pan American, the Division I school, bringing my UT Permian Basin NAIA school down for a game in UT Pan American. So we go down there, and I mean, first off, the bus ride was like, you know, you're driving from the northwest side of Texas all the way down to the southwest tip of Texas. And the journey was like, it felt like 9-10 hours on the bus.
Yes.
And I was going, God, are we still in Texas? And we were, right? And then we get there in the middle of the night, right? It's like after midnight when we pull in. And we're looking for this hotel because part of the guarantee they gave us was a cash guarantee, money for our program, but they also paid for our hotel for two nights there where we would be in Texas. So we get there, we look, drive around town. Finally, we come up and bus driver says, I think this is it. And you know, when people talk about the difference between motel and hotel, well, motel is usually a step down from hotel, right? Where we were staying, Mark, if you were to call it a motel, would be an upgrade. It was a really bad situation, right? When we pulled in, and as I started to get off the bus and players wanted to get off the bus to walk into the lobby of this hotel, I had to send the players back to the bus because there were late night working individuals, if you get my drift, that were hanging around the lobby of the hotel.
Nice.
And looking to abscond to my players as they got off the bus.
You got some entertainment.
Back on the bus. And then, so I'm trying to call UT Pan American, now UT Rio Grande Valley, and I'm trying to call the coaches over there. And, of course, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's answering their phone. And I'm thinking, we have no choice. We don't want to stay here tomorrow, but we have to stay here tonight. So we checked in, and when we get to the rooms, the beds look like they haven't been made. You know, they're ruffled. The sheets are ruffled. The blankets are ruffled. I'm like, I don't know if I'm sleeping in that. So I'm sleeping in a chair in the room that night. And then I'm worried about the clientele that we saw in the lobby in the parking lot. So I told our coaches that I want the doors left open to the rooms. And we had a rotation of coaches that night on the hall in a chair to make sure nobody was coming down that hall trying to get into our players' rooms. Needless to say, first thing the next morning, we got a hold of the coaches from UT Pan American, and they moved us, and they apologized profusely, right?
No.
And they moved us to the nicest Marriott hotel in town. But for one night, none of our guys got under the covers. If they slept in their bed, it was on top of the covers. And there were cockroaches and all of you name it, it was taking place there. And it was the absolute worst night of my life, worst hotel I've ever been in my life.
Yet, though, there's more stories to come. We're here with Billy Mims, head basketball coach at Florida Tech. I never thought we'd hear this story. I wasn't expecting it, but I appreciate you telling it to me. Let's go to the NBA then. what's going on in your perspective? You have decades of experience as a head basketball coach. What's going on with the Orlando Magic right now?
Well, you're not going to like the first thing that I'm going to say.
All right.
But the first thing I'm going to say about the Orlando Magic is that I've said this to you before. You have heard this before. Mm-hmm. And I've complained. And I said, until the Magic do something about this, they're not going to be with the elite. They're knocking on the door, but they're not there yet. And there's two problems. Problem number one is they still are a very young basketball team. As you look out there on the court, there's no veteran superstar. You know, their top players are still young guys that are very, very young in their NBA careers. You know, they're still leaning on the shoulders of Paolo Banchero. What did he do? 1 year of college basketball at Duke, and then he in the NBA. And what's he been in the NBA now? 2 years?
Yeah, that's right.
And right? So I'm not sure he's got a driver's license yet. Is he old enough to drive a car yet?
He
might not be old enough. He might not be old enough to order an alcoholic beverage
after
the game.
Okay, he finally did. He's 21 now. He's young. But that's good. Hey,
so my point is,
what?
They're young, right? But the second point that you won't like is they are not going to step to the next level if they are still leaning as well on a player by the name of Markelle Fultz. And I've said that over and over and over. And, you know, so, you know, in game one of this series, you know, unfortunately, in game one of the series, you know, if you look back at, I'm just looking at something right now to recap here. Markelle Fultz played 13 minutes in game one and was 0-for-4, right? In game two, they limited him to 6 minutes, and he still gave them nothing. But they are, in my opinion, they don't have a bench that's really deep enough to help them. They have the starters are too young. Mm. The quality off the bench is limited. Now, I think Mo Wagner coming off the bench does a great job for them. You know, in game one, he came off the bench with 10 points for them. So, you know, he's a guy that I like, and I think, you know, he's a good bench player for them. So I'm not going to complain about Mo Wagner. But when you have a young starting lineup and then you go to the bench, and as you look at the bench is not that overly talented or overly experienced, you're going to run into problems when it gets to playoff time. You lack maturity. You lack experience. You lack the kind of guys that can win big games in playoff situations.
Yeah, and that's okay. I look at it as, all right, they finally broke through. They won 47 games and made the playoffs, right? They've been a doormat of the league for a decade now. Who are we kidding here? They finally have young talent, and now it's going to take another year, and they're going to add guys. I don't feel like they can win this series, Coach, but I'm optimistic for the future that this franchise can get better. Is that fair if I go with that look?
I guarantee you're right. Now, and the crystal ball says this. Mm. The crystal ball says two things. Because the Magic have a history of making mistakes in this situation, right? Mm. The crystal ball says this. That number one, to take your best young players and continue to develop them. Keep them happy. Keep them in the fold. Keep them in the family. Continue to develop them. You take your Paolo Bancheros, your Franz Wagners, your Jalen Suggs, your Mo Wagner, your Wendell Carter Jr. You take those guys. They're the cornerstone of your future. You keep developing those guys. You keep them happy. You keep them in the fold. In the past, the Magic would take some of those young bucks and put them up as trade bait in the hope that they could get a washed-up veteran that would come in and be their savior. Mm. No. keep developing the great young talent you have, and then find a way to get a trade somehow for a veteran or two that can mesh well with your youth and come in. And the Magic don't have a go-to veteran player. Now, you tell me in the NBA's right now, which team are you watching right now that doesn't have a go-to veteran NBA player?
I agree.
All the serious teams do.
You're absolutely right. I look at it this way, and I've known you for a long time. The teams that win the championship, the core is guys who are kind of mid to late 20s, early 30s. You're not going to win the title with a bunch of 22-year-olds. Doesn't work that way.
Nope.
It doesn't. It's, you know what it's like, okay, they get Shaq, right? And then the first time he goes to the playoffs, they get swept, right? Then they really develop Shaq, Penny, and they get Horace Grant, big veteran who knows how to win. Even Dwight Howard, you draft him in 04, they make the finals in 09. It takes time to develop. I look at Oklahoma City with their, you know, the Thunder with their 50 first round picks. Last year, they made the play-in tournament and lost. Now they're the one seed. They added Chet Holmgren. It takes time to develop this stuff. It does.
It does. Absolutely does. And I mean, you know, the West this year has been a wild, wild West roller coaster. I mean, every week the seedings would change. At one moment you think the best team in the West is the Minnesota Timberwolves. The next week it's the LA Clippers. Then for a minute there, it looked like, oh, it might be the Dallas Mavericks. And in the end, who was betting 3 weeks ago that the number one seed would be OKC?
No one.
Who would have bet that?
No.
No one. I mean, you know, it's been in their wildest dreams ever since they had the big three of Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. And what did they do then? They botched up and started selling those guys off, and they got to one really good playoff run, and then they were mediocre for decades. You know, it seemed like, whoa, you know, how long ago was that we had those three superstars when they were all young? If they had kept those three together, The OKC Thunder would have been a dynasty. They would have been a team people are going, wow. You wouldn't have been talking about the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. You'd have been talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder if Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook had all stayed together and bring in and build some good young quality players around them. OKC would have been a powerhouse, and they would have been the team that everybody was talking about. But this year, the West is 5-6 teams that are all pretty doggone good. And, I mean, it's sad to say, but the Lakers and the Warriors are not in the upper echelon anymore. No. They're too old now. And believe it or not, here's what's funny. The Clippers finished the fourth seed, but they lose last night to the Dallas Mavericks because of the backcourt, the highest scoring backcourt in NBA history. The best backcourt duo is now Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. You know, a little fire and ice, so to speak, a little age and youth. Kyrie is the veteran. Luka is the young buck who's becoming the GOAT. And then they beat a team last night, the L.A. Clippers, who have built their team around veterans. James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook. All of a sudden now, the L.A. Clippers, they look like a team that's playing in the over 50 league. You know, they got the oldest starting lineup in the NBA and a couple of old subs as well. But guess what? They're a top four seed in the playoffs. So the bottom line is, you gotta have, you know, there was an old statement. You can't win the Kentucky Derby riding a jackass. You gotta have some thoroughbreds, okay?
Yeah.
You gotta have some thoroughbreds to put you in position. And I really believe that the East this year was nowhere near as competitive as the West. The Boston Celtics are going to waltz through and head straight to the NBA Finals. They are the beast of the East right now. I don't think anybody can contend with knocking off the Boston Celtics. But on the other hand, It is definitely a wild, wild west, and it's a wild card out there. Flip a coin. You do not know. Will Denver make another run to be back-to-back NBA champions, or will all of a sudden Dallas step up? Will the old men of the Clippers get it done? Will OKC, that nobody believed would even be the number one seed, will they just roll through the – no one knows. It is the wild, wild west. It's going to be exciting to see how that plays out while the Boston Celtics just keep eliminating everybody in the East, sit back, watch, and wait to see who they play from the wild, wild west.
Great stuff. He is Billy Mims. He's going to join us moving forward to talk NBA playoffs. I loved your story about being at the border of Mexico and then didn't have the doors closed. That was pretty good. That sounded like an X-Files episode. That was pretty awesome. Coach, thank you so much for coming on. Have a great day, and I hope I can get you on again sometime, all right?
Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure.